Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to yet another awesome and inspiring episode of The Town Hall. It's early on a Monday morning for me, but for my guest, it's after lunch. We're crossing time zones, countries, and even boundaries of what we think is possible in the realm of environmental sustainability and food waste. I'm joined right now via Skype with Louisa, the Chief Brand Officer for Toast Ale. Toast's a really cool beer for a really cool cause. Louisa, thanks for hopping on with me today.
Thanks for having me. Great to be on.
So for our listeners who may not be familiar with the brand, what is Toast Ale?
So Toast is a beer that's better for the planet. We brew with surplus fresh bread from bakeries, and then we put all of our profits into charities that are tackling some of the problems with our food system.
And how did you get involved? I mean, the idea itself is so revolutionary. Like, did you have a passion for sustainability or working towards ending food waste before Toast? Walk me through your professional and personal timeline a little bit.
So prior to Toast, I was a climate change consultant, so working with businesses to look at their impact on the environment, particularly from an energy and emissions perspective, and helping them to look at options for improving their impact. I had taken some time out because I'd had two children and wanted to just have a little bit of a break. And my break didn't last very long. I was freelancing and met Tristram Stewart, who is a campaigner on food waste. So he looks at the global social and environmental impacts of our food system and has focused in on food waste as being one of the biggest problems that we face, because there's huge amount of resources that are used to produce our food. 80% of deforestation is due to food production, for example, and yet we're wasting a third of it. And yet it's like a really easy problem for us to solve. We just need to value the food that we're producing and then make sure that we're eating it. I'd met him and I was working with him and his charity Feedback. So Feedback campaign at all levels of the food system, from government to business, right through to engagement with people, with citizens. And he'd been in Brussels. He'd met some brewers there called the Brussels Beer Project, who produced a beer that was brewed with bread as part of the grain bill, bread from their local bakery that was left over at the end of the day. It hadn't been eaten, hadn't been purchased, and it essentially is a grain. So bread is made with wheat predominantly. Traditionally, beer is made with barley, but it can also be made with other grains. And it's the bread makes a really nice substitute for part of the barley in the grain bill. The beer tastes really great. So Tristram had tried this beer, really enjoyed it, had spoken to the brewers there, and he was inspired to use it as a way of talking to people about the issues of food waste in a fun and empowering way, so that people could just have a drink, have fun, learn a little bit about food waste and be doing something really positive just by enjoying a beer. So the brewers came over to the UK. We worked with them and brewed our first beer in Hackney in London back in 2015, in the summer of 2015. The project was a really huge success. Jamie Oliver, one of the very popular TV chefs in the UK, he picked up the story and it went out through one of his TV shows. And then we've just really gone from strength to strength from there. So yeah, that was launched in January 2016 and we're now 3 years old and have brewed with over a million slices.
Yeah, that was my next question is, you know, since inception, how much bread have you saved? So how do you partner with the bakeries and the purveyors to do it? How do you form those relationships?
Well, the very first brew, I'd literally phoned around all of the local bakeries and asked that we could collect or have sent over to us the bread that was left on their shelves at the end of the day. So day fresh bread that had just not been purchased. It was a pretty big challenge to coordinate all of these different bakeries to get them their surplus together for a brew. So now as we've grown, we've had to look at more efficient ways of doing that. And we've managed to achieve that by working with a sandwich factory. So we don't eat the crust ends of the loaves when we buy sandwiches. And those crust ends, and often that first slice of the loaf as well, because it's slightly smaller, doesn't get used to make sandwiches. It's a byproduct of the sandwich industry. And so we partner up with a large sandwich factory. They segregate the heel and that first slice of the loaf at the very beginning of their production, and they donate that to us. They deliver it to the brewery. And it is turned into beer first thing the next morning, just as the sandwiches are arriving at the shops.
That is so cool. If you had to describe, like, what the beer tastes like, what would you say? I mean, how many different flavors do you have? What do you think sets, obviously the social causes sets the beer apart and the food waste aspect, but what do you think sets the brand apart taste-wise?
So we've got a range of four different beers in our core range. We've got three ales. There's a pale ale, an American pale ale, and an IPA. And then we also have a lager. They're really quality, great tasting beers, craft beers that you wouldn't necessarily know contained bread at all. But it does have a really nice malty flavour to it. But those beers, you know, they range from the APA being a real tropical drink from the hops that have passion fruit and citrus aromas, really nice, refreshing hoppy beer, through to a lager that's it's crisp, refreshing. It's a sort of Pilsner style. So it's hoppy, but much more lightly hopped than the American pale ale.
So speaking of America, I mean, you're in the UK, but the US has gotten in on the action. So what does that across the pond partnership look like? How are you guys entering the US market?
So we launched in the UK first back in 2016. And we were just seeing some from across the world, actually, lots of people getting in touch with us and saying that they really liked the story, really liked the beers that we were producing, and they wanted to see if they could take it to where they were. And we're seeing from the US a lot of interest in food waste as a cause, and people really kind of getting why it was a problem and wanting to do something about it. So we have set up partnerships around the world. So we're in South Africa, we're in Iceland, we're in Brazil, and have slightly different relationships with the partners over there. But for us, the US was such a big and important market that we wanted to be there ourselves. So we set up a subsidiary company that's based in New York. We are brewing with Captain Lawrence Brewery, upstate New York, which is following the same model that we use in the UK. So we contract brew because there are breweries all over the world and growing numbers of them. So in the UK, for example, we have 2,000 breweries, and those brewers are not brewing every single day. The equipment is unused some of the time, and the capacity of the brewers is available. And so rather than building our own brewery, which has an environmental impact, but also a big cost to it, we work with existing breweries to leverage that spare capacity in the system. So we've in the UK, we work with a brewery called Wold Top, which is in the middle of beautiful countryside in the north of England, and in the US, working with Captain Lawrence there. And then we have a team based in New York, and we're also expanding through the East Coast as well.
That's so cool. I'd be remiss if I did not take the opportunity to mention one of our mutual accomplishments and badges of honor, which is the B Corp certification. And I know that this is something that you're very passionate about. So, you know, for our listeners who may not be familiar, explain really what a B Corp is, what being a B Corp means to you, and how do you get certified?
So B Corps are businesses that are working for good, essentially. They are meeting the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, transparency and accountability. And yeah, generally trying to use business as a force for good. So it includes some very big brands like Patagonia, for example, Ben & Jerry's, who have quite clear social missions, but also lots of smaller businesses as well. And the community is growing all across the world. So in the US, its home is in the US, but it has expanded internationally as well. So we became the first UK beer B Corp beginning of last year in 2018. And we're seeing the community grow very quickly over here. And it's just, it's fantastic to be part of that network of businesses, partly because we're also supporting each other by sharing opportunities and knowledge and experience and, sort of helping to raise awareness of B Corp as a way of doing business.
It really is inspirational because, like you said, B Corp highlights a lot of smaller businesses too, which is, how we got connected. Our target audience, I say this a lot on the show, are millennials who want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. And so, what's more millennial than interviewing a beer company? Especially one that's a major player in the fight against food waste. What are some other ways that you guys are helping kind of transform the community? I know that you have a partnership with the Tap Social Movement and you were talking about feedback. How are you guys engaging, the people around you to help out with the major issue that is food waste?
Right. So we have a policy of being very open and transparent with everything that we do and about sharing our experience. So we've open sourced a recipe that is posted on our website so that anybody that brews, a home brewer, can go online, can download the recipe and can ensure that nobody ever has to waste bread in their own home. And through that, there have been a number of projects that have arisen through. We're seeing a lot through universities with students getting together to brew small batches of beer, perhaps using bread from their university school campus. We also collaborate directly with a lot of breweries. So we've worked with about 20 different breweries around the world, a lot of them in the UK, but also over in California, up in Sweden as well. And with those collaborations, we're sharing our knowledge and experience of brewing with bread. It is, in theory, fairly simple to substitute some of the barley used in beer with surplus bread, but it comes with a whole host of challenges as well. And we're keen to help breweries to understand and overcome some of those challenges. We ultimately would love to see all breweries using bread in the grain bill to create a circular economy within the brewing industry. Bakers and brewers used to be located close to each other. There was a really nice industrial symbiosis of this relationship between bakers who had surplus donating to brewers who would use that in their that bread in their beer. The spent grain, which is the grains that are left over after brewing's finished, can then be dried. It can be ground into flour and it can be used in bread. So there's a really lovely circular story. And through the collaborations that we're doing, we're working with a local bakery, a local brewer, and we're also joining up with a local charity. And most of those charities are working in the space of food in particular, so both looking at food poverty and the environmental issues of food production. But we're also working with other charities who are doing really important things in their local community. So you mentioned Tap Social. They are a brewery who work with people who have been in prison, and they're rehabilitating them by giving them experience in brewing, but also in the back house side of things as well. So in business administration to help give people skills to get back into the workforce. And yeah, we've done a number of those collaboration brews now. And then, as I said, we're trying to be very open about what we're doing and try to publicise it as much as possible to encourage others to do it. We've seen about 25 breweries around the world who've mentioned that they've been inspired by what we're doing and are producing beers for themselves, including two of the big supermarkets in the UK who have worked with their bread suppliers to create an own brand bread beer that's on sale in UK shelves now.
That's incredible. It's very cool to see the impact, especially the global impact, because food waste is such a global issue. Okay, so before I let you go have lunch, and I'm going to go have breakfast, I wanted to play a little game called Rapid Fire. I'm just going to ask you 10 random questions, and you just blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Yes, okay.
One, who is the last person that you texted?
My husband.
What is one eco-responsible action that you take without fail on a daily basis?
Compost all my food waste, if I have any.
What is your favorite toast ale flavor?
American Pale Ale.
If anyone, dead or alive, could play you in the movie of your life, who would you cast as yourself and why?
Oh, gosh. I have no idea. Can I skip that one?
Sure.
Sorry.
That's fine. When I come up with these, a lot of times I repeat some and then I try to do some based on the guest background. And this one, I mean, this one's just so lame, but who was your favorite Spice Girl?
Probably Scary Spice.
Mine too. What is one piece of advice that you've been given in your life that's really stuck with you?
To make the decisions that are important for you in your life and to follow your heart. So not to take actions based on what you think you should do, but in what you can feel that you need to do.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Gosh, I haven't done karaoke for a long time. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
If you had to eat the same thing every single day for the rest of your life, what would you eat?
Cheese.
When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A vet.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
Happiness.
Where can people find out more about you, about Toast, about some of the awesome work that you guys are doing?
So Toast's website is toastale.com, and we're on social media at toastale, one word. I'm also on Twitter, Lou, L-O-U underscore Z, Z-E-D, and the same on Instagram.
Awesome. Louisa, thank you so much for taking the time to, like I said, educate and inspire all of our listeners. The town hall was, I personally think, created for moments just like this, highlighting brands that are doing the right thing and giving them a platform so we, as you know, younger consumers, can use our purchasing power for good. So this was a really cool experience for me, and I'm glad we were able to make it work with the time zones and all that. This was really awesome.
Yeah, it was really great talking to you. Thank you.